Blog Talk Radio.
But Monday the 13th. Among the birthdays today, one of the last female rulers of Austria, Maria Theresa. There was a lot of culture and people like Mozart, Papa Haydn, Joseph Haydn, people like that who created music, operas, and a lot of contributed to the cultural life of Austria-Hungary, as it was called. Another musician born on this day in 1842, Sir Arthur Sullivan. He was the S. Sullivan of Gilbert and Sullivan, and he also wrote a lot of classical music besides operettas. Daphne du Maurier, the great English mystery writer, British mystery writer, she was the wife of Boy Browning. He was the paratroop general in the British Army in World War II. He was one of the people responsible for a bridge too far and ignored the fact that the radios did not work. And this caused a disaster for the British paratroopers and others when they tried to take the bridge in Arnhem in Montgomery's grand strategy to win the war 6 months earlier by capturing all the bridges across the Rhine. In the movie A Bridge Too Far, you will see this. It's very accurately portrayed, this big military disaster, World War II. Do you remember Beatrice Arthur with the very deep contralto voice? Well, her born name was Frankel, Beatrice Frankel. One of the New York Times drama critics, Clyde Barnes, born on this day, one of the worst preachers or ministers, if you want to call them that, a political preacher, Jim Jones, who's responsible for a lot of the corruption that we're still undergoing here in San Francisco, and also for the mass murder, the Kool-Aid murders down in Guyana. And Jim Jones had a connection to many politicians and people in political office, as well as at least one judge here in currently here in the year 2013, even though this happened back in 1978. We still have that specter hanging over City Hall. Do you remember my guy? Well, Mary Wells, one of the Motown. She was born on this day. And John Kasich, who was the governor of Ohio, his birthday. Among the deaths, the great Cyrus McCormick, he was one of the ancestors of Colonel Robert McCormick of the Chicago Tribune and of the U.S. Army in World War II. Great Jewish writer, Sholem Chaim, born on this day. And the guy who invented fluoridated water, or was responsible for it, died in 1962, but fluoridated water, that controversy did not die with him. H. Trito Dean, I don't think he was related to John Dean. Chet Baker, great musician, he fell out of a window, we don't know why. Another musician, he died of cancer, Larry McPartland. I don't know if he was married to Mary McPartland. Among the events on this day, in 1110, the Crusaders entered Beirut, and there was a bloodbath. One of the cardinals of the French monarchy, Cardinal Richelieu, remember, cardinals in those days were mostly a political appointment, and he was also the prime minister of France and in Louis the, I think, 14th's reign. He Richelieu invented the table fork. I think he used it to ward off anybody who tried to assassinate him. In Australia, in 1787, this is an important date, Admiral Phillip sailed from England with 9 ships filled with people that they were transporting who were convicts, political prisoners, people they didn't like, the men and women. It was like a 6-month journey to Australia, and I recommend the book The Far Shore by Hughes, a brilliant history of Australia, and of course, having been down, it's one of my favorite country where I worked. In Brownsville, Texas, this was in 1965, was the last battle of the American Civil War, and the last guy to die, John J. Williams, he was from Indiana. excuse me. In 1912, the Royal Flying Corps was set up, and I think we should honor them by playing this march. This is their march. Where is it? I always lose these things. Here we go. Ritual about British marches, as you notice that they're a little slower than American marches, and that's because the Brits like to march slower, longer, and go greater distances, I was told. In 1917, this is very important in the Catholic faith, in Portugal, the first appearance of the Blessed Mother to the three children in Fatima. At the time, Portugal was government of Portugal was anti-clerical, and they persecuted these women. Now, the oldest, I think it was Lucia, became a nun, and she gave the three secrets to Pope John Paul. She gave it to the Vatican, and they were opened by John Paul. And one of them was that Russia, that communism would fail in Russia. I'm not so sure about that. In 1939, back to governments that are corrupt. Hitler decided to put the West, Americans and the Europeans on notice that they were hypocrites dealing with taking in Jews. So, and this is a famous movie, too. There was a steamship called the SS Hamburg, and there were about 930 people of Jewish descent. Some of them didn't even practice, I understand. And they were sent on this ship to go to countries like the United States, Cuba, places like that. The United States rejected a lot of them. In Cuba, a couple of people jumped ship. Cuba took in a few. England, I don't think, took any. And the ship went back to Europe and landed these people in Holland. And when Holland was overrun in May of 1940, the Gestapo went after a lot of these people, and very few survived. But it's a famous movie. I highly recommend it. Also, in World War II, Churchill gave his famous, "I have nothing to offer but blood, sweat, and tears." It's interesting. In my speech class, we did comparison of public speakers and politicians, and compared the cadences of Churchill's speeches and that with Hitler, and some of the syntax. Both Hitler and Churchill diametrically opposed each other. Hitler remarked, "The thousand-year Reich, England and Britain." Had the 1,000 years of British history, and of course the Royal Navy and 1,000 ships. It's very interesting. A lot of similar sentences in their speeches, although the British were very understatement and emotionally, and Hitler was a lot of histrionic screaming and carrying on and grimaces and a lot of theater, as one of my friends remarked. Among the other events today are in this date. 1943, Rommel was not there in the Africa Corps. He was sick. He was never around when the Allies struck, like at Normandy. He was the deputy commander. He was back in Germany for his wife's birthday when the German and the Italian forces surrendered to Montgomery in Africa in 1943. Rommel was home in Germany. He was sick. It's very interesting. He was never there at the dramatic moment. In 1952, Pandit Nehru became the Prime Minister of Italy and India, and his daughter Indira later became Prime Minister, and she was assassinated by Sikhs. The whole Nehru family seems to have been cursed. One of her sons, I think, was killed in a plane crash. Another one was assassinated. A lot of tragedy with the Indian politicians, and of course Gandhi was assassinated. And, of course, August 15th was the day that the British decided to give independence to India, and the astrologers at the time said this is a day cursed by stars. Well, as far as assassination of public leaders, politicians, apparently they were right in that respect. Also, during World War II, towards the end of the war, the German Gestapo tried to seize all the radios, and we have this problem today, trying to control the information that people receive through the internet and through TV, and we're seeing nothing's changed, just the technology and the techniques. 1947, this is very important, the Taft-Hartley bill, was about Senator Robert Taft, who was the son of Chief Justice and President Taft, part of the Taft, Ohio political dynasty. I don't know who Mr. Hartley was, but anyway, this bill was designed to control union strikes and also picketing. And Harry Truman, who vetoed it, but his veto was overturned by Congress, and he said he would not sign a bill where he had been supported by union and labor all of his political life. 1958, and this is important also on this date, the French settlers, the Pied-Noirs, they're called Blackfeet, who were in Algeria, they began their revolt against the French army. And 10 years, and De Gaulle later, when he took power, trying to save France a second time, gave Algeria its independence as well as Indochina. And of course, 10 years later, in May of 1968, there were 1 million people in the streets of France who demanded that De Gaulle resign, and he did. He said he'd save France twice. He wouldn't do it a third time, and he did what a lot of politicians should do, and that is leave the stage, which is what he did, and retired quietly. In 1981, they're talking about an attempted assassination. Pope John Paul II was an assassination attempt by this Turkish guy who I think is still, he was a young man, still in an Italian prison. They don't have capital punishment there. And then in 1989, talk about the students again. In Tiananmen Square, the 2,000 students started their protests. Among the political fictions that we have was that this whole thing with the IRS and giving the Tea Party and so-called political nonprofits, and that's another word that's misused. A lot of these so-called nonprofits are actually non-taxpaying profits. A lot of money is pocketed, misused, and we'll get into that another day. But anyway, remember that during the Watergate time, when Nixon was in the White House, he tried to get even with LBJ, who LBJ tried to use the IRS to investigate Nixon, and then when Nixon became president, he threatened to use the IRS to punish his political enemies. So the administrations do these things. It's wrong. Now, Hillary, or what should be called Hillarygate, she was a young, she had graduated, I don't know how she got through Yale Law School, but that's where she met Bill Clinton, who also went there. There must be something about Yale. But anyway, she was on the Watergate committee as a junior legal staffer, and she was dishonest, according to people who she got fired. She was unethical. She lied and engaged in all kinds of nefarious activity. It appears that nothing has changed. And, of course, Hillary, it does matter. Now, one of the things, of course, she is from the Chicago area, and Park Ridge is like 10 miles from Chicago, and also in the northwest, it's the northwest suburb. It was racially discriminated against dark people. The sun couldn't set on black people. They used them to do the dirty work. They didn't have bars and where you could buy liquor for years in Park Ridge. The town shut down on Saturday night, and I remember because we lived in a boarding school in Des Plaines, that Park Ridge wasn't the type of place that you could look to have fun. In fact, if you wanted to have fun and you lived in the burbs, as it was called, you went to Evanston on the Howard Street side of the border, and the students from Northwestern and the colleges went there to party and to buy liquor and later on buy pot. We're doing May 13th, births, deaths, and events. I forgot to make this change. Now, we've got this bicycle problem, and I'm hearing from people around the United States that and this is surprising in Chicago. Apparently, some citizens are talking it's about time that they start taxing bicycles. They're doing the same thing there. These bicycle anarchists are running people down they're riding bicycles on the street. Millions of dollars have been spent for these lanes to accommodate them. And we have a couple of lanes here in San Francisco on freeway entrances, which these bicycle lanes go nowhere. It's insanity, and it costs about $30,000 to $35,000. To say the least, and also I guess the insurance companies will finally wake up when they start getting hit with lawsuits from cars that hit bicyclists who shouldn't be on these highways and in these lanes that go nowhere. It's insanity, and this country doesn't run on two wheels. This is not a coolie economy. Excuse me. Now, also, I'm glad that these women were found in Cleveland. It's a shame. It's a horror what had been the horrible things have been done to them, and this guy would punch a woman in the stomach to force her to have an abortion. He should be he's no better than this guy Gottsall, the abortionist doctor, who was just convicted in Philadelphia. But anyway, one of the things, one of the false imprisonment and sexual abuse cases here in San Francisco that the people have either forgotten about happened in 1982, and I remember because I used to jog in the area where this truck, this van parked, and a couple of us used to say something funny about that van, but we, like a lot of other people, did not want to meddle or interfere. And what had happened, turned out, was this guy, Treefog Johnson, or I think his last name is Rinaldo. There's no picture available that we could find. He was a guy who had taken this a 7-year-old kid named Alex Cabarga. His mother had given him up. She didn't want a parent anymore. And this guy, Johnson Treefog, abused this kid up until he was 17 when he was caught with this 2-year-old girl, Tara Burke, and this, I think, 8-year-old Asian boy who they sexually abused regularly and taped the sexual abuse in this van, which was parked at San Francisco's Mission Bay. We'll be putting up some of the video that we have from that area to show, so people will understand what happened. And there's a big tragedy to Tara Burke. California has a victims restitution, victims rights fund for that victims of crimes can apply to the fund for medical payments, psychological payments, in, for payments for psychological care. Now, interestingly, Tara Burke was cut off from this fund, and she was 2 years old when these rapes happened. She was found, fortunately, 10 months later in December of 1982. I think Dianne Feinstein at the time may have offered $10,000. Dianne Feinstein was mayor of San Francisco at the time. She was a Feinstein at the time. She later married this guy, Blum. Anyway, Alex Cabarga was sentenced to 205 years in prison. The other guy, Treefog Johnson, was life without parole. And they're known in prison as short eyes, and they have to be put in separate protected custody. Anyway, his Cabarga's 205-year sentence was overturned because the judge in this, the appellate judge, Jay. Anyway, the appellate judge in this case felt, J. Anthony Klein, felt that Cabarga was, although he participated in the sexual abuse of both of these children, that he was a victim too. And so he recently got out on parole in 1995, I think, but he's still listed as a sexual, convicted sexual felon and has to be tracked. But anyway, he applied for to this victims' rights fund and for medical assistance payments and that sort of thing, and he got them. But Tara Burke was cut off, and we don't think that was fair to her. And a lot of people are just outraged. But we'll be bringing up more of this, and then the Kevin Collins case, because there may be a connection to. He was abducted, too, according to some people. And, of course, hopefully this kid is still alive and he'll be reunited with his family who are still looking for him. Now, a nonprofit was set up, the Kevin Wrights Foundation, but the father bought a car and some clothes, but we really don't think he did or was able to do anything to help find his son. The father is dead, there are people who are familiar with this type of crime and who are politically aware, let's put it that way, like Nick Rommel, who recently died. He told me that the word was that Kevin Collins had been abducted by the sexual predators, and he was taken up north, which would be the northern counties of California. We don't know where he is right now. Nick died a year ago. He also worked as a purser on these cruise liners. They went to Aruba and the Caribbean. And the word was, according to him, that these children, especially blonde girls, who go down there and get abducted for the sex pot trade in the Middle East. That some of these children who are abducted are abducted by sexual predators who want to use them. Now, there's also an allegation, not only that some media people are involved, one of the major TV stations here in San Francisco, who used corporate money to go to Bangkok to pursue young boys, that these children are forced into prostitution and in these brothels when they're no longer useful, they are killed and their organs are harvested, let's put it that way. And of course, we know that that goes on, especially in China. So we're going to be back Wednesday, and coming up, we're going to I got to play this interview because it's important of how the MS-13 gangs got started. And this is a Salvadorian refugee who's very familiar with, and this is what he said.
I worked, how long were you in that military school?
The age was like 3 until the age 7.
3?
When I came here.
Yeah.
When?
You start preschool and all that.
Oh.
I mean, but
do you have to wear a uniform or anything?
Just some simple, like, slacks, blue shirts, mm-hmm. stuff mm-hmm. like that.
Did they provide it? Was that provided by the school?
I mean, okay. It's all part of what was somewhat given to you. I mean, it's better than sitting around doing nothing. I mean, because you're mm-hmm. a kid in El Salvador. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, some kids go to work with their parents. Others mm-hmm. have nothing to do. There's... Mm-hmm.
Was there any liberal arts in the curriculum?
No, man.
So did you do your art?
I didn't know about art.
Oh, I love it.
I didn't know what the fuck painting was until I did it.
We won't edit that out.
All right, here's the rest of that interview. What's the matter here? I'm trying to get it.
Okay, now, after you left the military school, what did you do?
Well, we left with my family, literally because the war got too bad, and my parents didn't want me to go through any more hardship than had already happened, you mm-hmm. know? So, my dad, who had already been here for, like, at least a few years, had sent some money back and just paid some people to get us all the way to Mexico and Texas. Mm-hmm. And then to San Isidro, and then L.A., and then we're... The rest of the money was paid off, and that's why I came here.
Now, getting back to these throwaway kids, now they come up here from, they were trained like, they went to school like you did, and they've come up here into the barrios in L.A. and
well,
Chicago.
This is my understanding of what happens. When I first came to this country, my family lived in L.A. You know, and I guess my dad was really so broke that we actually lived in Compton. Like, we didn't, like, I wasn't like your regular East L.A. Latino
mm-hmm.
kid, which is why I don't have an accent, plus all the English I got taught when I was a kid. Because, you know, if I speak Spanish, it's, like, completely different. It's, hola, ¿cómo está usted hoy?
Mine's lousy.
No, but it's like my Spanish voice and my English voice are entirely different.
People well, you mastered it. You'd be great in intelligence.
Oh, no, people have told me that. They're like, hola, ¿cómo está? Sí, yo me llamo Romeo. Hola, yo hago arte. But anyways, so I've had a lot of friends that came out of the same neighborhoods we came out of. You know, we immigrated, people stayed together, people stay in touch. And we knew of other family members, you know, so-and-so's cousin that actually did go through full military training, or so-and-so's cousin that actually was there for the guerrilla battle, and they also got military trained and stuff. And what really happened is after a while, you had all these kids that were, like, bored in a really bad neighborhood, just odd opportunities to sell drugs and stuff, full military training, indoctrinated, because, I mean, you're told how to fight, you're never told why. You just have these skill sets. Crime is a rather easy pursuit, you know? It's very easy to make that jump to say...
So that's one of the reasons why they're so skilled with these high-powered weapons.
Yes.
And I mean,
like, all these, like, roaming gangs, especially, like, MS-13, you know, coming out of, like, El Salvador and all this stuff, there's a reason why these people are...
Skilled.
Effective. Yeah. To an extent, you know, essentially effective is there is a military background due to the backlash of, you know, the U.S. sending troops to train kids.
So we're reaping what we've sown down there. In other words, I guess that's the word from the Bible.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
Well, we'll be putting up some stuff on YouTube, and we'll end with politics and poker. Maybe.
Hey, Ben, want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you 5. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
King 2. Gentlemen. Here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you
come? I'm in.
Possible straight, possible flat.
Well, we'll be back Wednesday at 4 p.m. This is Peter Paul Verzola. Go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmiCusVeritas. So have a good week. We're coming up towards Memorial Day. But next week is Victoria Day, and we will have a special salute to Canada. Good night.